Let's start a podcast about our mental health. For no good reason why, let's call it Mindcake.
G'day cobbers, and welcome to another slice of Mindcake.
Mindcake.
With him,
Lee Crompton, and him,
Paul Beeson.
The Australian version.
Yeah, I thought I'd mix it up a bit this week.
Is that racist?
No.
No.
How you doing, bud?
I am very well, thank you. I never know what I'm going to get. I was thinking the other day, it was a howdy. Is that your thing now? You're just going to come out with a random...
Well, now that you've said that, it's definitely going to be my thing.
Oh, that reminds me that when you did your... Ian McNabb's email corner, it sounded a bit Welsh, and I didn't know whether that was supposed to be Welsh or...
I don't even know what it was.
No.
Let's say it was a deliberate Welsh accent then.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, here's a question for you. Presumably you have a actor profile somewhere.
Yes, like a CV.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your actual age?
My actual age in real life is 44.
Right. On your thingy, what do you say your range is? So you can act from 16. from what to what?
22 to 25. No. I honestly can't remember what's on there at the moment.
It's convenient.
No, it's decidedly inconvenient because I can't remember. I think it's 40 to 50, I think, will be my range, give or take. I genuinely can't remember what it is. I should have maybe put it up a year from, you know, when my last birthday. Should have maybe bumped it up a year, but...
Yeah, you haven't updated it since you were in your mid-20s.
Yeah. That's why I don't get any work.
That's why you don't get any work. Who's this man boy? So, which brings me on to what I was going to ask is... I've seen some of these profiles and it says what voices you do. So have you got any accents? Because clearly Welsh isn't one of them.
No, yeah.
Have you got any other...
Because I have done accents in the past, in previous shows and things like that. So every time I do an accent, I put it on my profile because I've been able to do it.
Even if it's terrible?
Well, see, this is the thing. With me and accents, generally speaking, I'm terrible at doing accents because I really need to work at it. So over the course of however long I'm rehearsing for, like I really practice the accent. And when I'm driving to rehearsal, I go over the lines in my head in the accent. I wouldn't go as far as staying in character and using the accent in everyday life, but I try to use it as much as possible. Well, like one of my good friends, Boydie, who I know listens to the podcast. Hi, Boydie. He can do pretty much any accent you want. Like if he's just, you know, mucking about in a conversation and he'll just do an accent like off the cuff, no problem. It's not like that for me. I have to really work at it. I do have a range of accents. Whether I can just do them now is questionable.
Do Welsh now.
Ooh.
Play Ian McNabb's email corner in Welsh.
Hang on.
Not in Welsh, but just...
Yeah, I don't speak Welsh.
No.
Ian McNabb's email corner. How was
that? That's less Welsh than when you were not trying to be Welsh.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing. I have to work at it. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna hunt out your profile. It must be online. Must be able to find it somewhere. And if it says that you do Welsh on there,
no,
I'm
won't.
Gonna... Do you reckon?
Absolutely, because I've never had to do it before.
What have you had to do then?
I've had to do an American accent. I've had to do an Irish accent.
Clearly Australian. G'day, cobbers.
I didn't even do it in an accent. I just said it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's, yeah. Any Scandinavian?
I did play a Viking in the You Choose.
A hairy Viking.
Yeah.
I need to mention that. Did you like your hairy badge I did for you?
It was terrifying. But yeah, I loved it.
Imagine what it was like for me making it. Because this is the thing. Paul thinks he's fixed. He's the tech man. And he keeps thinking that he's fixed the fact that when you post something onto Instagram, it then goes to our Mindcake Facebook page. but I don't know whether he has done this on purpose, that everything that we post on Instagram, and he keeps saying he's fixed it, then goes to his personal Facebook page.
Yeah,
and
I noticed that.
People have been commenting on how lovely the badge was.
Yep, and they think that it's me that's posted it. And it wasn't.
They think that you've posted, you've made a badge of your own face.
I know. With, ridiculous.
With hair around the outside. That is a prototype. I've got an idea of how I can improve that, by the way.
So, yeah, at the moment, the hairy badge looks like a sort of terrifying spider with a tiny little paw face, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, the problem was what I should have done was stuck the wool to the cardboard and then stuck your face on it. How I thought it was going to work was sticking your face on the badge, then sticking the wool around the outside.
Yeah.
Of course, all different lengths. And I thought, that's fine. I'll trim it afterwards so they're all the same length. But the wool, I don't know if it was the wool or the scissors, the wool wasn't very well attached to the badge. So when I'm trying to snip it, it was just pulling it off. And I was like, do you know what? I'll just leave it as this sort of spidery thing.
Do you know what I mean? It's a prototype. So it could only get better from here.
I think so. I should probably stick it next to a picture of the actual
Nasher badge. Now there's a reference for the kids.
shall we get into our...
our episode? Yeah. Yes, please. At the time of recording, we don't actually know who our guest is going to be. We are in a little bit of limbo. We're waiting for 100% clarification from our guest if we're going to be able to record with them this week. If not, we're going to have to go to our next in-line guest and try to sort of hurriedly organize something there. So at the moment, we actually don't know who our guest is going to be, do we?
No, but I'm sure it's going to be exciting because either there's one of the three that we've got potentially lined up. We just don't know at this stage which one is going to be.
Yeah, so who knows?
If none of the three can do it, then it's Dr. Jan.
Yeah, Dr. Jan to the rescue. Okay, so without further ado, Cobbers, here's our mystery guest. So it turns out none of the three guests or Dr. Jan were available. So we kind of f***ed that up, didn't we?
What did you think of that, Paul? Well, I've no idea, because I've no idea who we've just listened to.
Yeah, so let's just talk some shit.
Okay, where do you want to start?
I don't know, I'm tired.
Are you tired because of your rug-a-thon?
Yeah, do you know, I'm suffering from rug exhaustion this week.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, because I'm exhausted and it's the rug's fault.
I don't think that's on the NHS website.
No. So this week, I've been mostly delivering rugs. I drove down to Durham yesterday to pick up a rug, and it was a big rug. So it was almost 4 meters long and almost 3 meters wide. It was hefty, and rolled it up and lifted it up, and it was bloody heavy, but managed to sort of get my hands, you know,
round its girth.
Yeah, carried it out to the car, managed to fit it in the car. Just
how big's your car?
It's a Ford Focus. So
you measured about a 3 meter long rug in a Ford Focus.
Yeah, because I put the back seats down. The passenger seat was folded right back as well. So it was kind of doing a diagonal from you know, the footwell of the passenger seat right across sort of to the very back driver's side of the boot. So yeah, managed to get it in. And it was an elderly couple, like two people in their 80s, which is why I was doing all the lifting myself. After I shut the car up, they were just chatting away and they asked me if I wanted a cup of tea and stuff. And I could barely catch my breath. I was so just the physical exertion of carrying this rug and get it in the car. The woman went to her husband. She went, go on, run off and get him a glass of water. So this octogenarian scuttled off into the house to get me a glass of water. If anything, this rug venture has told me that I'm not fit enough at all. So I need to get my fitness back in order. I need to get a bit stronger. I need to obviously get a bit fitter, because carrying a rug to a car should not be that. I mean, it was massive and heavy. Don't get me wrong. It was and if you any of our listeners out there have got massive rugs, like proper heavy expensive rugs, like, you know how bloody heavy they are.
Or a wig. If you've got a massive wig, please send us a picture. If you've got a massive rug,
a wig that is 4 meters long and 3 meters wide, then I would love to see a picture of that.
Especially if it's dirty.
Oh, a dirty rug. So Yeah, and then I've been out doing some rug stuff today as well, and I'm knackered. I feel like I've had a workout. Like my arms feel like I've been lifting weights, you know, but not necessarily in a good way. Not in a, oh yeah, I feel like I've got a pump on because I've been at the gym. I feel
you've
like
got a what?
A pump on, like, you know, when you've been to the gym and you're
that was cool, is it? He's got a pump on.
Yeah, I've got my pump on. But I don't necessarily, I feel like I've torn all the muscles in my arms is actually what I feel like. So yeah, just been discussing with the lovely Gail about rejoining the gym and trying to get our fitness regimen back on track.
That sounds like a fine plan.
It does. And, you know, in the past when we have been going to the gym and stuff, once you get into the habit of going, you're like, you've done it the first couple of times and you've dragged yourself there and it just becomes part of your routine. That's just once you get over that initial hurdle. It's I think we've said before in the podcast, like trying to get out for a run when we were doing the Maggie stuff in January, you know, going out for a run. Once you're actually out and doing it, it's fine. And you do it. It's getting out of the house or it's getting in the car and driving to the gym or whatever it might be. And we used to do it and we used to love it. And then after COVID, we've never really kind of got back into that habit. That is what we both need to do because we're slowly kind of getting unhealthier and we're getting older as well, man. You know, you can't
you're 44 for God's sake.
Exactly. But you know, your metabolism changes and you can't just coast to fitness like you used to when you were a youngster, and it takes longer to get back into shape as well. So it starts
here,
yeah. And again, it's something that I'll keep you posted on in the podcast. So that's what I'm looking forward to getting fit again. Is where I'm at.
Yeah, well, no, that's good. I think that's very commendable. And like you say, I think I've had a sort of epiphany as well. I've got my oncology appointment in next week, I think it is, the 19th. So that's 3.5 years. I've slipped back into that, putting on weight, just snacking. And you think, well, if anyone should be looking after themselves, then, you know, everyone should be looking after themselves, obviously. But
that sounded like advice, Lee. Careful.
Everyone should be looking after themselves, but if you don't, that's completely your choice.
We are not healthcare professionals.
I am not, and neither is Paul. No, for me personally, what you choose to do is completely up to you. But for me personally, I've really, again, like you were saying, it's just getting over the threshold. I haven't run for, I think I've done one run this year, which was in January, and then with various illnesses and God knows what. Oh, sorry, oncology appointment. So they changed my thyroxine dose, and it normally takes about 3 months to kick in. Yes, since Christmas I've just been feeling pretty washed out and pretty lethargic, so I really had to sort of force myself over the threshold today. And I went back rather than trying to push myself and go, right, let's see how far I can run and let's see, you know, up the pace and watch my watch and just go back to week, because of course me being me, I can't go back to week one of couch to 5k, so I've gone back to week five of couch to 5k, which is run, jog like a Neanderthal man for 5 minutes, walk for three, jog for five, walk for three, jog for five. So that's what I did today. Came home. I mean, admittedly, it took me like 35 minutes to do 4k. It was an appalling, not that we're focusing on time. Yeah, no, I came back from that and had a cold shower and felt much better for it.
Good.
But it's that it took me probably about 3 hours of pontificating. Oh, I should really go for a run. Oh, I should maybe let my breakfast go down. I need to send that email to send it. And just, and it got to lunchtime, then going, oh, for goodness sake, just pull your trainers on and go outside. And if you need to walk, you need to walk, you fat person.
I think that's the thing. It's being realistic about it as well. And I'm guilty of this. Like when I've gone out for a run, I always think back to, you know, the last time I did this, I got this time. And you shouldn't ever compare. I mean, we're not professional athletes for a start. We don't have to compare ourselves to anyone or anything.
Well, speak to yourself, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, you mean about the athlete thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to do triathlons.
I mean, so you keep saying.
Really badly.
Yeah. And being in competition with yourself is not the worst thing in the world, because if you do, you know, if you're regularly running or going to the gym and you run a little bit further or a little bit faster or lift a bit heavier, I mean, that's how you know you're improving and that makes you feel good about yourself. But certainly doing the first run in months, it shouldn't matter. The important thing is you went out, you did it, doesn't matter about the time or how much running or how much walking, you did a bit of exercise that made you feel good. And that's the important thing.
35 minutes of exercise. And I think if you get back into the gym, I think in a couple of weeks' time, you'll be able to lift a 4.5 meter rug above your head.
On each shoulder, yeah.
You'll be pumped, as they say.
So you said you started on week 5 today.
Yeah.
If you're a Couch to 5K, people out there who aren't familiar, how long is the Couch to 5K program usually? Like if you started,
I think it's 9 weeks.
It go from like your first run where you can't run at all really, and then 9 weeks later you're comfortably doing a 5K.
Yes. So the idea is you start obviously on week one, and I think week one you run, it might even be for 90 seconds. Which I remember when I started, I was like, that should be okay. Because again, I'm thinking back to school. yeah, I mean, who? And I remember like being 60 seconds. When is this minute going to be over? So I can't remember exactly, but you maybe run for 90 seconds, then walk for 3 minutes, run for 90 seconds, and then you build it up over the weeks. So like you say, by the time you get to week 5, we were running for 5 minutes. I thought, well, I should be able to do that. Run for 5 minutes 3 times, but this is the first week 5, where it splits into, so you're basically supposed to do 3 runs a week, which are normally repeat, so repeat the same run 3 times. But when it gets to week 5, you then have run 1, run 2, run 3. So I think like the next one I'm supposed to do is like 8 minutes, then walk for 3, then run for 5. Mm-hmm. Walk for 3. I think anyway. So the idea is that after 9, I'm sure it's 9 weeks, you should be able to run either 5K or nonstop for half an hour. So I'm going to try and, you know, as long as I don't get bloody ill again.
Yeah. Do you know, I had the lurgy last week after you having it before. I got floored with it last week.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. It happened really quickly as well. Again, I was out doing some rug stuff on like last Monday. What else am I doing? I got back home sort of mid-afternoon and my nose started to run a little bit. And by about 8 o'clock that night, I was absolutely stuffed, like bunged up, sneezing, coughing, shaking, achy. Like, and then I felt ill all day Tuesday, and then Wednesday I was fine.
You don't think it's rug dust?
I have thought about that. I thought maybe it was an allergic thing, but again, I've been fine since then. But it's weird for me because usually if I get a cold, that's me like a good solid week, and then you know it sort of gradually goes through the stages. Like I'll get like a bunged up nose and a runny nose and stuff, and then that'll get better, and then I'll be all achy, and then that'll get better, and then my throat goes, and then I cough. It kind of, that's the way it's always been.
And then bottom.
This one just smashed it all into my face for 24 hours and then took it away again. It was really weird. My immune system is either really bad or really good. I can't work out which one.
Mm.
But yeah, it totally floored me. So again, still going out and trying to work when you're not 100% well isn't really conducive.
Isn't so good.
I was definitely not doing any exercise last week. So
no,
that's why it all starts this week.
Yes. Well, let's keep our progress going.
Yes.
This is like our New Year's resolution starting on
the
13th of March. That's okay, though. As Jan says, just another day. Doesn't matter. This week, I've mostly been receiving certificates from the Royal Humane Society. So I mentioned about my great-great-great-granddad, Edmund.
Eddie.
As all my ancestors are called Edmund, most of them.
Is your middle name Edmund?
No. And my dad was the first Edward.
Oh, okay.
Not Edward as in the terrible film director.
The director, yeah.
before him was a string of Edmunds. And so anyway, so his, after I said last week, last time that other notable winners were Bram Stoker.
Oh, Duncan Goodhue.
Duncan Goodhue. I looked it up, and Alexander I of Russia, friend of the family, and Isambard Kingdom Brunel. As a man who likes to have an anecdote for everything, I do have an Isambard Kingdom Brunel anecdote.
Lee Crompton's Anecdote Corner.
You're going to put an echo effect on that, aren't you?
Of course I am.
Yeah, yeah. My auntie and uncle were both in the police, and I believe worked at the same station for a period of time, and were quite large members of the force.
Not physically large.
Yeah. You know, your archetypal donut eating. They didn't eat a lot of donuts, but they were. They're
portly.
Both sadly passed on now, but they're both portly figures. And they were talking in the station one day to one of the junior officers who was showing my Auntie Pauline that she had had her boyfriend's name tattooed on her ass. To which my Auntie Pauline said, "Oh, that's lovely. Oh, I think that's a lovely thing to get done. Maybe I should have your name, my Uncle Michael. Maybe I should have your name, Michael, tattooed on my ass," says my Auntie Pauline. And my uncle turns round and says, "With the size of your ass, you could have Isambard Kingdom Brunel is full address and postcode tattooed on it." And that was, which he took in good spirits, because it was about 20, this became a family kind of joke. And one Christmas they came to see us and she said, "You never guess what I've had done." She'd been home with Michael and pretended that she had some sort of lower back pain and said, "Oh, would you mind having a look?" And yeah, lo and behold, she has Isambard Kingdom Brunel tattooed on her ass.
That is amazing.
Not admittedly his full address and postcode, because who knows where he lived. Yeah. But yes, so my auntie, who say unfortunately has passed away now, had Isambard Kingdom Brunel tattooed on her buttock.
Wow, that's an amazing story.
That is worthy of a jingle.
Lee Crompton's Anecdote Corner. Lee Crompton's Anecdote Corner.
There you go. I don't know how I'll cross that off the list. Isambard Kingdom Brunel. I don't know how you move on from that, but I just thought it was quite an interesting, quite a funny story.
I don't think we'll top that.
No,
not just today, going forward. I don't think there's any story either of us will ever tell again that is better than that one.
That is the first and last Anecdote Corner.
Lee Crompton's Anecdote Corner. Lee Crompton's Anecdote Corner.
You've just broken anecdotes for everybody else. Nobody can better that. Here's a new segment of the show. Welcome to Ian McNabb's Email Corner.
Are we going to mention him every week?
Well, we'll see. Well, it depends how often he emails. So we have had another email from Ian McNabb. Oops. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Ian.
Our number one fan. So Ian has sent us an email because he went over to a place in Galston called Lotus Crystals and got some crystals for him and his wife. So this is after Ian listened to our interview with Kay. And Kay's crystals.
Yeah, a word I'm not allowed to say on the podcast anymore.
Crystals.
For fear of ridicule.
So Ian has sent us a lovely picture of the crystals that he's bought for him and his wife. Obsidian amethyst rose quartz for himself and amethyst moonstone selenite and hematite. Is that right? I don't know if I'm saying
hematite.
That.
Is that not a blood disease?
And so apparently the guy over at Lotus Crystals is quite knowledgeable about the whole thing. And
he's not as knowledgeable as Kay. No. Well, I'm putting that out there now. Well, but carry on.
Never met the guy. And his mum started the business 30 years ago. So it's sort of been passed down to the son. And he's making, or not Ian, but the guy who runs a crystal shop is making organic shower gel and household cleaning stuff. So
how long is the email? Or are you just freestyling?
There's just a couple of paragraphs to go. And he finishes the email by saying, "Please don't do a podcast on Ferraris or extreme sports, because whatever we do a podcast on, he goes out and gets involved in." Thanks, Ian.
No, don't do that. Don't buy lager. It's bad. Don't.
Well, yeah. So we've also got an email here from Russell. Now, Russell is one of my best mates.
Not Russell in the woods.
Not that Russell. No, a different Russell. Mm. So I've known Russell since primary one. So we've been mates for 40 years.
Blimey.
And he sent an email.
Email?
Because he says, "I just thought I'd drop you an email because from being a listener, I know that you love a wee message. Love listening to your ramblings and the guest sessions are really interesting and informative. Lee, big shout out to you as your story is such an emotional roller coaster and it's inspiring listening to how you have turned things around from such a devastating diagnosis."
Oh, thank you.
Paul. Loved hearing your story in the most recent episode. Really hits at the issues around men's mental health. As well,
say that again.
It's easy for me to say, isn't it? Put my teeth back in. Whilst I knew some of your story already, I had no idea of what you were really going through despite us being mates for going on 40 years. Men just don't talk to each other, do they? And that is such a shame. Love to you both and keep up the good work. Remember, you're good pals when you break the big time. From Russell.
Nice one, Russell.
Yeah. And finally, we've got an email here from Fiona Potts.
Fee Potts. Hello, Fee. Potts.
This is a friend of yours, Lee, is it?
It is. I believe she's in the States. Although she might have moved back.
Okay. Fee, do get back in touch and let us know where you are. Just wanted to say I'm really enjoying the podcast. Had a chance to catch up on a few episodes this week and I found your guest really interesting. Dr. Jan is always calming and rational, which is great. Charlotte's chat was very thought-provoking and I'm definitely interested to hear more from her on your perimenopause special. Also, I don't know if you guys have heard of Google. I don't know what she's on about. But you might find it helpful. Okay. It was such a funny conversation with both of you fumbling around what on earth perimenopause might be. Anyway, keep up the good chat. It's fab. Oh, and please don't send me a hairy badge.
No, I wouldn't dream of it.
Thanks for that, Fee.
Well, Fee, thank you very much. But I hate to say, I don't think it was just the perimenopause that we were fumbling around. Most topics of conversation, we fumble.
We should change this to fumble cake, really, because that's
what we do. I was going to call it fumbling corner, but that sounds very wrong.
Don't fumble in a corner.
No. Where were we?
Yes, where were we? Oh, yeah. So thank you, Fee and Russell and Ian for getting in touch.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
That concludes Ian McNabb's Email Corner for this week. Ian McNabb's Email Corner. Okay, now, shall we do the charts we've got since we've started?
Let's do the charts.
Okay.
Let's do the charts.
So, if you remember, going back to, what was it, Lee? Episode 5 or something, maybe?
Well, it might have been before that.
No, I'll tell you what it was. It was our Christmas special,
it's
wasn't
a Christmas it? Special.
And we did a Christmas quiz where Lee had some songs that I'd never heard of in my life. And Lee said that in the interest of balance and fairness that he
did I say
would,
that?
Well, no, but I'm paraphrasing. I mean, I can't repeat what you said in a clean podcast. But in the interest of balance and fairness, we would look at the chart from when I was 10, because that's the chart that you were talking about, I think.
Yes, it was 1983.
Yeah, when I was 3. So that's why my knowledge of 1983's pop music isn't the best.
You had never heard of Church of the Poison Mind by Culture Club.
Still only heard it twice, yep.
Was it on an advert? Was it on a TV program the other day? Because I videoed it and sent it to you.
You did. It was in, I want to say it was in White Gold.
It was in white gold.
Which is set in the 80s, and then that came on in the background, and Lee sent a very smug video. Wonder what this song in the background is.
This obscure song I've never heard before.
So apologies, I have now heard Church of the Poison Mind 3 times.
3 times.
Yes.
So in the interest of balance, I said, so you were 3 at the time, so let's, and I would have been 10 in 1983, so let's fast forward. The same week, 1990, and see how many of the top 10, because I think there was how many you didn't know in the top 10 for 1983?
Oh, it was a few, wasn't it? There was, I think there was three or four that I, was it three that I knew?
Yeah, I can't remember. I hate to say it, but I think you're going to be...
struggling.
Oh, no, the opposite. I think 1990. Well, let's start. Number one was a song you may have heard of, The Power by Snap.
Yes. Everybody knows that song. Yeah, it's a big song.
It was there for 3 weeks.
Okay. I tell give me the artist or give me the song title and I'll see if I can tell you who the artist is then.
Okay, fine. I think you're going to be fine with this.
Okay.
Number two in the charts was Love Shack.
The B-52s.
Correct. Ah, now, number three was Strawberry Fields Forever.
Candy Flip.
Oh, very good.
It's a good version of the song, actually.
I do remember it, but I don't remember it.
It's very trippy, sort of really kind of...
Is it not like a dancey...
It is, yeah. It's got a really heavy, dreamy drum beat, drum loop in it. It's a really quite a good track, in my opinion.
Okay. You may have heard of number four. It was a little song called Vogue.
Oh, that's Madonna.
Yeah, and actually peaked at number four.
Oh, right. Again,
number five, Blue Savannah.
That is Erasure.
Very good. Number six, moving up to number six. It tells me whether it's moved up or down. Moving up, number six, was Birdhouse in Your Soul.
Oh, they might be giants.
Oh, six out of six. Seven. Oh, I didn't realise that was what it was called, but I do know the song.
Okay.
I didn't know this was what it was called. I won't tell you who it was featuring. I'll tell you it was Lily Was Here.
Ooh, no. That's the name of the song, Lily Was Here.
Yes. I'll tell you who it was featuring, you'll then be able to work out who it was.
Okay. No, because that doesn't ring a bell, actually, that one.
Lily Was Here featuring Candy Dolfer. It was an instrumental.
Oh, is that...
Dun, 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 dun. Somebody played a bit on the piano, then she copied it on the saxophone.
I know exactly. Yeah, I know exactly the song you mean. Yeah, I couldn't have told you that's what it was called, though.
No, I never knew. I knew that was... I didn't know it. I knew Candy Dolfer because she played a lot of sax for Prince.
That's right. Yeah, I know exactly. I can hear it. I can hear it up
Do you know who played the guitar, though?
I do not. No, I couldn't tell you that.
It's Dave Stewart.
Ah.
Of the Eurythmics.
The Eurythmics.
And Dave Stewart's Spiritual Cowboys.
Ah.
When he did his solo. Now, number eight you might be struggling with.
Okay.
I've never heard of it. It's called Don't Miss the Party Line.
Don't Miss the Party Line.
Hmm.
Oh. No, that's not ringing a bell either, that one. Don't Miss the Party Line.
Do you remember who it was?
Yeah, I wouldn't guess that one.
Business.
Oh.
Mm. I've never heard of them.
No, I'm going to have to have a little listen to that one afterwards.
Mm. You in at number nine, Hang On To Your Love.
Hang On To Your... I was going to say Hold On To Your Love, but that's a different song, isn't it? Because it's Hold On To Your Love, not Hang On.
I would imagine you'd be a big fan of this person.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hang On To Your Love. 1990. Mm. Don't know. Stumped with that one.
The big JD. Jason Donovan.
Oh.
Again, I don't think I would know. I maybe know if I heard it, but yeah. It doesn't ring any bells.
Oh.
Number 10, you're going to be all over this like a tramp on chips. Dub Me Good To Me, featuring Lindy Layton.
Beats International.
Featuring Lindy Layton.
Featuring Lindy Layton, indeed. Mm. Norman
there
Cook.
There you go. Was it?
Yep, it was Norman Cook. Post House Martin, pre Fatboy Slim. It's one of the projects he got involved with.
I never did. I watched a documentary on Netflix not so long ago about, I think it was Woodstock.
The Woodstock 99.
Woodstock, that they basically burned it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Which... Limp Bizkit came on and did a song called Break Stuff, and everybody just went mental.
Yeah. And then Red Hot Chili Peppers came on and did a song about fire and mm-hmm. stuff. But anyway, he was in that documentary, Fatboy Slim.
That's right, yeah. We watched that a while ago. Couldn't have been less like the original Woodstock if it tried. It
no,
like the polar
exactly.
opposite, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like some apocalyptic. So yeah, out of that, the business, we're giving that. So I think there's like
Jason Donovan.
Yeah. I think there's only two. Lily Was Here, you know the song.
I know the song, but I wouldn't have known it was called Lily Was Here.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that you recognise when you hear it, but you couldn't.
I mean, Strawberry Fields Forever, very well done. I mean, I'd never remembered. I remember the song, but I couldn't have told you it was Candy Flip.
Yeah, that's one of the songs that's stuck with me since I was a youngster. I think I actually recorded the charts one week when that was on it, and I became more familiar with that version than the Beatles version, like because at the time, although I was listening to the Beatles then, I wasn't aware of their version, like the original version. And I loved the song when I was a kid, yeah, so it just kind of stuck with me.
Sorry, I'm just looking down the list here. At number 22, there was a song called Everything Starts With An E.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Everything starts with an E, yes. It's like a dance song.
Really? Surprising.
Yeah, with very subtle drug references.
By the Easy Posse.
That's right.
Mm.
Everything starts with an E.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of that. Anyway, so that was, oh, number 29. How am I supposed to live without you?
Oh, Michael Bolton.
Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, 32, Loaded.
Primal Scream.
Yeah. Number 37, I Don't Love You Anymore.
Oh.
By the Choir Boys. Number 38, Nothing Compares to You.
Oh, Sinead.
Oh, Sinead. Anywho.
Anyway.
Peaked at number one.
Peaked at number one. Well.
Did peak at number one. Number 38 in April 1990. There you go.
Was that on its way down the chart?
Yeah, it's on its way. No, it does. It's on its way down the chart.
So it'd already been at number one and was now.
It'd already been at number one. It's been 12 weeks in the chart.
It's been 12 weeks and 16 days.
Yeah, I think you think you're just making the lyrics up now, aren't you?
Yeah. Okay, well, that wasn't too bad.
One of Prince's most famous songs.
That's right, yeah.
Though he also did... Manic Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I think he also did one of Janet Jackson's. I think just to get on Michael Jackson's nerves. I think he did a Paula Abdul one as well.
Oh, hello, Flo. Sorry, one of my cats has just snuck in. I thought the door was shut. A clever cat managed to open the door.
I was going to say, with the rug thing, it's not that you're allergic to cats, because obviously you have one.
You've got two cats, yeah.
Two cats, sorry. Yeah, how could I forget? Two cats, yes. Hello, Flo. Sorry, I'm not on the... Is Flo on the camera? I'm not on the charts.
No, right. She's on the floor. Yeah, okay. Well, that wasn't too bad a showing. That was all right.
Maybe we should do another 10 years after that and see. So you're then
20
and I'm very old.
You're in your 40s by then, aren't you?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, just a bit of housekeeping, really.
So without further ado, it's time for Paul Beeson's housekeeping.
Paul Beeson's housekeeping. Oh, how very lovely.
So you can send us an email at sliceofmindcake@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Mindcake Podcast. And you can find us on Facebook if you search for Mindcake. And actually, what would be nice as well, if it's not too much trouble, give us a little star rating wherever you get your podcast. Maybe even leave us a review, because it's great that we know there's a lot of people out there listening. And it would be fab if we can get some reviews and some star ratings just to kind of make us more relevant, I think. It's tough out there.
Yeah. No, what I was going to say was, if you are going to do that and we don't have a guest this week and it is just 40 minutes of us waffling on, maybe don't base your review on this week. Wait until we have got a professional person on who has some actual content.
Yeah. Don't review the podcast purely on what we do, because... We want it to be good. And if you've just tuned in to the first, you know, for the first time this week,
if this is your first,
I'm really, really sorry. From both of us. Apologies.
To be fair, if you've listened to all 12 episodes of this, I'm really sorry as well.
Yeah. Bless you out there. Bless our listeners, the best listeners in the world.
Do you think people just tune in the hope that it might get better one day?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe,
come on, you can do it. Come on, Liam Paul. It's late and you want to go to bed.
Yeah, it is. It's true. I've got to rest my rug-weary arms.
Your rug-weary shoulders.
Cool. Well, until the next time, arrivederci.
Bye.
Let's start a podcast about our mental health. For no good reason why, let's call it Mindcake.
There was a load of stuff when I was getting the middle going, oh, right. And if you want to get, if you're an authoring, the biggest genre is, now what's it called? It's got a name. It's basically fantasy with elves, have like sex with elves. It's like Mills and Boone, but with elves. That's the biggest genre at the moment anywhere ever in the world.
Oh, okay.
Ever.
Oh! Oh, well, right. Oh, Fireman Sam. Right. Oh, I've got a bit Geordie there.
Why aye? Why is aye? Ian McNabb's email corner.
Ian McNabb's email corner. Well,
spooky. That's all I can say. Ian. It's spooky. It's Biker Grove for anyone who's under the age of.
Yeah, there's a reference for the kids. I don't know if you ever made those sort of. I was going to say hairy balls there.
Oh yeah, we're always making hairy balls and
maybe like a sort of woolly a woolly ball.
Woolly
like,
ball.
You, know, you sort of you knit it all into a ball and you like you sort of cut it and it goes sort of fans yeah. out. So yeah, it's like a little pom pom. A pom pom.
That's not good for the podcast. It kind of goes.
Well, there's a sound effect.
If your balls do make that noise, by the way, please go to the doctors.
Yes. Again, we're only offering advice here.
That is advice, isn't it?
That is advice, yeah.
I advise you to go to the doctors and see your hairy balls.
Yeah. I'll probably edit that out.
Yeah. Edit that out, yeah. I mean, quite honestly, if we haven't got a guest, we've pretty much done enough waffle to fill an episode anyway.
Indeed we have.
No mental health content as per, but, you know.
Well, that's how we reel them in.
That's how we reel them in with the lure of mental health, only to be surprised there is no mental health content.
Absolutely none.
Or advice.
We don't give advice, though, Lee. We're not healthcare professionals.
No.
I keep telling you. Like we say, we love a little email, so you can get in touch with us via email by sending an email. You can
it's 3RX. Oh, sorry, I talked over you.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at MindCakePod. Is it? Or Mindcake Podcast?
Oh my God, you've got one job, Paul.
Hang on, let me just check. I'll do it all again.
What? I don't even know. What about you at now? I wasn't really listening.
No, I'll start again.
Jesus, man.